Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
There's been 23 months since then when all you've been doing is flapping your mouth and not doing anything. So listen, you want to have the conversation later? I'm happy to have it, buddy. But until that time, sit down and shut up.
Fighting for Idaho.
You got to make sure Allison's got the ball at the end of the game by hitting every single solitary soul you know to go and vote and have a victory. Thank you. God bless you.
Fighting for you.
If you got it, Paul, or you thought you had it,
I would start playing that song by Queen. Goodbye, everybody.
Boise's Mr. Right.
I've got to go.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Welcome to Mayhem in the AM. Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. Currently a balmy 34 in Meridian. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at Brittany Maynard's decision. If you don't know who she is the 20-something-year-old woman, 29-year-old woman that had terminal brain cancer and decided to move from California to Oregon to end her life. And our own Jane Metzler has this story.
I don't want to die.
She suffered from a terminal brain tumor, which caused seizures, excruciating headaches.
Moments where I'm looking at my husband's face, and I can't think of his name.
Brittany Maynard moved to Oregon because of the state's Death with Dignity law, going public with her decision to end her life on her own terms November 1st. The world watched as she crossed items off her bucket list, including a helicopter trip to the Grand Canyon 2 weeks ago, which she ranked number one. Saturday, she took a fatal dose of barbiturates prescribed by a doctor, ending her life at the age of 29.
I think until anyone has walked a mile in my shoes,
she urged others to respect her decision, spread good energy, and pay it forward. Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Very emotional story here. How many of us remember being 29 or having kids that are in their 20s and deciding that it's over, a terminal brain injury, cancer, that she could not fight? And you have people in Oregon who are, you know, believe in the assisted suicide, that have this group CompassionandChoices.org. It makes you wonder, where are we going as a society with assisted suicide? And we've come a long way from Dr. Kevorkian. So coming up this hour, we'll take a look at that at 580KIDO. In addition to that, we'll also have John Bujak, who will join us, and we'll get his thoughts on a number of things. The election is tomorrow, and Russ Fulcher will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Joining us now is Dave Petso here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we take a look at the week. Does it really make a difference whether or not it's A.J. Belukoff or Butch Otter or John Bujak who runs the state, considering the legislature controls the purse strings?
Well, they do to a degree, but I do think that having the bully pulpit, if you will, and setting course, setting direction, I think it's really mattered. I think that Butch Otter's done a fine job economically. He's got a strong background, and I think it shows, Kevin. I mean, he's gone out and pursued various trade agreements around the globe, and if you're not really into business, I don't think a lot of governors do that. So I think everybody's got their own thing, if you will, the thing that drives them. And for Butch Otter, it's been driving the economy, and it's really showed. And that is not the purse strings for Idaho.
So as a finance guy, though, Mr. Belukoff has been pretty successful. You still would give the edge to Governor Otter.
Well, you know what? I'd have to say they all seem to have a reasonable background, but the answer is we know what we have with Butch Otter, and I think he's been good. But I'm just saying from that standpoint, not just politically, is that the right guy? I'm just saying that it does matter who the governor is. Absolutely, it does matter what direction the state is going to be focused on.
And we'll see how that plays out coming up here at 580KIDO. When you talk to people outside the state of Idaho, what are some of the big issues economically? Like, you know, we talk about the airport quite a bit, sir. We talk about schools quite a bit. But, and those are political things. But from people that you meet, whether you're in Chicago or where else, what issues would prohibit people from coming here?
Right. Well, as far as Idaho, it simply is. What really drives the business there? What's going on out there? So for people that really haven't discovered Idaho, they know it's beautiful. They know that people like living here. They've met enough people that are from there, but they really don't understand what the industry is. And sometimes it's hard for us to define it, isn't it, Kevin? There happens to be 500,000 people here in the valley, and we're going, well, they don't all work for Micron. They don't all work for HP. What actually is kind of going on here? So it is so much small business. I always think of us as an entrepreneurial center for people that love a great lifestyle, a good four-season climate, and they just want to hop on their mountain bike or whatever and go ride in the foothills immediately after they put down their computer.
Right, and again, we have the positives there, but we also have, you know, some negatives. You talked about this before. We could be more tax-friendly to businesses
yep.
in the state.
Well, we sure could be, and I'm sure some of the things that are going on with the Magic Valley Miracle and all that really are fairly tax-friendly. But on an ongoing basis rather than one-off, I'd like to see a more tax-friendly environment overall for business, not just, hey, come here and we'll give you 10 years' worth of goodies. Let's make it stable all the time. Like a tax-free state like Texas, you can count on that for longer than, say, a 5-year or 10-year entry period.
What do you make of the big news that came out, I believe, Friday? And we touched on it a little Saturday morning here at 580 KIDO of this Amy's Kitchen coming in where it's going to bring 1,000 jobs to Pocatello. Mm-hmm. I, you know, like you, I only care about where we live. But, you know, it's great what's going on in Twin Falls. Wonderful that Pocatello gets this. But what do you make of this? And I do believe they do get some deals on that.
I'm sure they did, and I think it just shows that you can attract even into a place like Pocatello. And pardon me for those of you who are from Pocatello, but I did spend a couple of
years. That was a chuckle out of you.
Over on the other side of the state, and I don't want to go back.
Everybody says that. What's the deal about that?
It's cold. It's windy.
Cold,
it's just no, no.
You know, they keep trying to lure me over there, the other side of the state.
Are they?
They do. They always try and say, you know, you would be the king of Idaho Falls. You'd be the king of, you'd be the prince of Pocatello. And I've never been there, but they always try and get me to come over to that side.
Don't go to the dark side, Kevin. It's the dark side. Trust me.
Well, only if I could take you.
Yes. Well, no, you can't. I can't go back. I graduated from high school over there.
Right.
And I've gone back, I think, twice
that
in my life.
That was enough for you.
Over the last 30 years, I've gone back, or 20-plus years.
I see.
I've only gone back twice.
Well, we do have a phone call for you here at 580KIDO, and your headphones are ready to go. We go to our own economist, and that would be Ron Paul Jim for Dave Petso at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, I just wanted to add to that where we were talking about, or where you guys were talking about the favored tax structure for certain businesses and things like that. Well, reelecting Otter isn't going to change that because it's been that way ever since he's been governor and probably preceded him. And then Belukoff, well, he's just a liberal. So I'm voting for Bujak. I'm going to play spoiler and I want change. I want real change. And I know he's a controversial figure. And they tried to get him in all kinds of trouble, but, you know, the truth is he's more of a Tea Partier and more of a constitutionalist than the other two. So that's where I'm going.
Well, do you have a question for Mr. Petso?
No, I was just saying that I agree with the tax structure, and that's going to affect my vote. That's all I wanted to comment on.
All right. Well, Mr. Bujak will be joining us at 7:30.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much here at 580KIDO. See? You put your headphones on for an endorsement of a political candidate.
It's all right. We all should be fired up around election season, right?
Yes, sir. Now, the governor at 580KIDO has taken your advice, which is to get rid of the business property tax, for lack of a better term, where if you have a stapler, you get taxed on that. What other moves would you like to see coming out of the executive in this next legislative season?
You know, I have to say, I think that the continuing along the same course of trying to attract businesses into Idaho as our current governor has done. He's done it, you know, remarkably well, and into places that really are not a destination. The Magic Valley, Eastern Idaho, and we look at what's going on here in this valley. It's This is quite an economic miracle, considering we are not drilling for anything in our state, right? We don't have energy here the way all the high-flying states are going. So,
well, they have more money to draw from, as the governor's pointed out, too. So when you take a look at all the states that are ahead of us,
yeah,
they are all our big oil states, if you will.
Big oil or coal. That's it. They're energy states, and we don't have any. We're like number one in economic growth if you don't have energy. So it's pretty ridiculous. And so I look at that and I go, you know, that's kind of working pretty good. I would say let's do more of exactly what they're doing, Kevin. So I don't have any ideas to sit here and say this is what's going wrong. The only thing I would like to see is better tech, better focus on better taxes, and not just drawing people in with some special deal that we don't know what it is, but I'm sure it is some kind of special deal.
Right. Well, that's been the big criticism. Hey, we're going to do stuff for Chobani, but we're not going to do anything for the Petso Center.
Right, because the Petso Center's here, right?
Right, and you have these existing businesses that would like to compete, that would like to do things, but unfortunately, the tax structure here, would you like to see something like similar to what you see in Washington State or Oregon when it comes to their tax structure, being more tax-friendly, if you will?
Oregon, certainly not more tax-friendly. They're horrifying, and in some aspects, Washington is too. But yes, of course, I would love to not pay any income taxes. My income tax bill to the state of Idaho now, because I've done well, is higher than I made in my 10th year in the business. So
hey, you're doing better than ever. Pony up, buddy.
But it's a fairly large bill, Kevin. So I just kind of not really.
We have a lot of people depending
on
you to make that money, Buster.
We do. But let me just say, there's a real attraction to Nevada and Washington when you have that kind of a tax bill. It would fund a whole lot of vacations.
Speaking of vacations, a man who never takes vacation, our friend Gene in Cuna with Dave Petso and Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. The bell pepper meets the pear once more.
Yes, exactly.
aren't we doing well in our old age and our over heavy age?
You're right about that, sir.
I do have a question for Dave. And, you know, you're talking tax codes and things that I understand very, very little about, except when I do my income taxes, and then I go ouch, ouch, and ooch. And how would a person, say of my stature, which isn't much, but I make a pretty decent amount of money each week.
Because you're working 7 days.
Well, yeah, I don't have much choice. I mean, there's nobody really wants to, you know, pitch in and say, well, look, you know, I'll take your job for the night and give you a night off. Or after they understand what it all entails, they don't want to do it. And I can't say that I blame them, because I must be about half insane to work 7 days a week. But, you know, somebody's got to do it. And I want to put a little money away, but I guess I just don't know how. I have five people in my household. I have some dogs. I have some horses and a couple of cats and a partridge in a pear tree, so to speak. But, Dave, what would you suggest that I do to put a little money away each week to try to get some kind of nest egg built up?
Well, you need to have a regular investment plan. What I'm saying is, you can't do this like, this week when things are, you know, this month when things are pretty good and we've got a little money left over, I'll go ahead and save it. If you're not paying yourself first, you're never going to get started. And I don't care what the amount is. I mean, I really don't. This is a lesson that has been just to the core. When I started in this industry, I literally made $16,500 my first year, and that was rather gruesome, to say the least. But the first $50 we made every month, we put away, because that's what I thought people should do, and that was what I taught, that you just keep putting away. You pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. And you don't. And the other thing is some of the things you're doing, you're going to have to reconsider. Horses are expensive. Okay.
Well, they are, and there is no market for them whatsoever, and there are no kill factories, and that would just, it's kind of a labor of love, Dave, it really is, but I understand what you're saying, to pay yourself first, and that way it goes into something every month, and maybe I could buy a stock in something, or do something, because it's got to be done, and
Yep.
I mean, I make like $42,000 a year, sometimes $47,000 a year, which isn't a lot of money compared to what a lot of people are making. But to me, that's a good amount of money, and I should be able to be putting something away.
Then I would say
kind of
I agree, and you just need to start, and I literally mean tomorrow. Okay.
So
it's not hard to do, and I'll tell you what look, this is not. Having you put $100 a month certainly isn't going to affect our business, okay? But what I'm saying is give us a call, and we will literally, we've made that promise to everybody that it doesn't matter what the amount of money is, we will make sure people get off on the right foot. So that's okay. We can point you in the right direction. You can do it yourself. You can have us help. It doesn't matter. But give us a call and start now.
Okay. All right, Gene,
Dave,
call
I will do that.
And ask for Dave for a good time.
I was there. Yeah, good time. Oh, okay. Ooh, there's a lot of information there, Kevin.
Gene, we got to run, but thank you, brother.
My friend, it's always a pleasure.
God bless. Our great friend
God
Gene.
God bless.
Gene from CUNA. Idaho, Steve, hang on quickly to traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
726, Dave Petzo continues. Then it will be John Bujak and Russ Fulcher. Quickly to the phones in Idaho. Steve, thanks for your patience. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you bet, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great.
Very good.
So just a quick question. One of the things we looked at on Fulcher's campaign was collapsing the tax brackets, taking it down from the 7 brackets to maybe 1 or 2. Any thoughts on how that would help small business?
Oh, anything that simplifies the overall tax bracket, in my mind, it always helps. It's always attractive. A flatter tax is a more attractive tax to all business. It's not just because, well, sure, you want you to not pay 7-8%. Of course, the highest, most productive, job-creating people would rather put some of those tax dollars towards another job, but that's really not the argument. It's simplification. It's regulation. Regulation is so insidious. People don't even recognize how bad it is when you have to file so many things. And you can't ever even do payroll with a payroll tax program correctly enough that you don't get tax letters from the IRS constantly. It is a mess. It takes an incredible amount of time just to comply. And simplifying the tax code is a great step.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Idaho Steve. We appreciate it, brother.
You bet, man. Take care.
Our great friend, Idaho Steve. Quickly, the markets are at all-time highs, Dave Petzo. You must be happy about that.
I am. Okay, now, so here's the bet, right? You come into October, and here's the bet. All right, so in the month of October, we're going to have a near 10% correction in the market. We are going to have Ebola, Russia. QE is going to end. Remember QE? If it ends, the market's tanked. It's going to end, and the market will go up 2% for the month.
Right.
To all-time highs. Nobody would take that bet. That's what happened in October. Is that amazing? And this underlying strength of this market continues. There just simply are no other choices. And the fact of the matter is, whatever we want to say about QE, about the phony dollars, about the Fed, about all these things, the reality is that corporate world is making record profits, which equals record highs in prices of those companies. Record dividend payments equals record highs. Record cash flows, record highs. Best balance sheets in history, record highs. Call it phony. I call the bank accounts that people have real.
Dave Petzo, and finally, it doesn't look good for the ruble.
It is not looking good for the ruble. And that's good. I think that's good. I just don't know what the nut job backed into the corner is going to do, right? Because his economy is absolutely collapsing. And with oil down, it is not going to help it at all. So they had to make a big jump in their interest rates this past week to try to save it. It's not going to save it. It doesn't mean it goes to zero, but the economy in Russia is really impacted by the sanctions. There's no question about it. It's really working, and they are in trouble.
Dave Petzo, we appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
Don't forget Dave Petzo, Petzo Financial, the Petzo Center. Money Matters, Saturdays at 580 KIDO.
New back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. John Bujak with us. John Bujak for governor at 580 KIDO. Well, Mr. Bujak, your thoughts today as we get ready for the next day that could change your life.
Well, Kevin, first of all, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to appear on the show this morning. I am just incredibly optimistic. After the Idaho Public Television debate last week, my social media has just blown up. people around the state that didn't know I was out there before the debate now know I'm there, and they're excited about the message, and they're excited about having a conservative candidate to look at that's going to respect their personal liberties and respect their constitutional rights and bring some new leadership to the state house that isn't going to be influenced by special interests.
What was that like, being in that debate?
It was rigorous, to steal a term from Common Core. It was rigorous. And, you know, I think that I saw a side of Governor Otter that I hadn't seen before. He's always been so smooth and so polished, almost like the perfect salesman standing behind the lectern. And I watched him lose his cool and misstate a lot of facts and make some missteps that I'm not used to seeing from him. And so I think he's worried, and I think he's wound up.
Well, let's go to a few of these things here at 580KIDO. We have your favorite question from Mr. Barker here at 580KIDO. Let's and see how you responded to it.
Mr. Bujek, you've been charged with multiple felonies. You've pled guilty to failure to pay child support. Why should voters trust you?
You know, when it comes to my history, and I have to admit, Rocky, I'm surprised that I get the questions about scandal with Governor Otter standing next to me here.
You know, it's interesting because I think everybody in the media got that anonymous letter. Many of us chose not to go with it because it could influence the race. What were your thoughts on that? What was your thoughts on the question and your answer to Mr. Barker?
Well, you know, you expect in politics, a mentor of mine once told me that politics is a lot like riding a tiger, and that's really true. You never know when the tiger's going to buck you off and eat you. And certainly dirty pool is part of politics as usual here in Idaho. So the fact that anonymous letters or other allegations have been thrown around didn't surprise me. But, you know, I think everyone in the community knows about my past. And the bottom line at the end of the day is I'm innocent. I'm not in prison. My child support is current, and I'm doing what I need to do in order to be a viable candidate. That chapter's behind me. And like I told Rocky, I don't understand why everyone is focusing on me and saying those things might disqualify you as a candidate, when to look at Governor Otter, the extent of his scandals and the amount of money that he's wasted as far as the taxpayer dollars are concerned is huge in comparison. And so, you know, you want to point at scandals, or you want to point at somebody who's not managing the taxpayers' money in a responsible way, you have to look no further than the current governor.
And speaking of that, let's go to the governor and you going toe-to-toe here at 580KIDO.
I think that the settlement was premature. I don't think that number is a good number, and I would have liked to have seen more investigation before any kind of settlement was struck regarding the private prison.
Rocky, let me also respond to that. A good lawyer would have read the entire contract on the negotiation and would have found out that at the end, new information on a new subject, the whole contract is opened up. That's in that contract, John.
Did you want to respond?
I would like to respond. You know, as a civil lawyer.
You know, and again, it's another personal attack from the governor, you know, insinuating that I'm somehow not a good lawyer. Of course I read the contract. I expected that these questions would come up. And simply, the governor either doesn't understand the contract or he's misrepresenting to the people what the contract says. That contract put to bed the civil liability over those staffing issues for $1 million. End of story. And if the governor wants to try to convince the people of the state of Idaho that that's not the case, he has an uphill battle because the contract says what the contract says.
580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you have a question for Mr. Bujak. By the way, Mr. Bujak, let's talk a little bit about what you've learned. We always like to ask candidates perception versus reality. You've covered politics. You've been involved in politics. You've been a surrogate. Now to be the actual candidate, what will you take away from this experience?
There's so much that I'll take away from this experience. And I think the most poignant thing is in going around the state and meeting real Idahoans, people who care about traditional conservative Idaho values, is what a great state we live in from the perspective of the people. We live in a good state. We have good values here. And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of times you go into politics and you're asking yourself the question, you know, why am I getting into this? What is the motivating factor? And for me, as I've gone around the state, that motivating factor has continued to be representing the people that really care about making Idaho the best place it can be for Idahoans. And I'll tell you, the people of this state are outstanding. And as I watch how they've come together around me and around the political process to try to make a difference, I just have an incredible amount of respect for the people. And I'll tell you, I thought originally I would maybe get out of the political game after this run, but seeing the nature of the people and how they've come together and seeing how much work has to be done in order to restore a conservative Idaho, I'm in it for the long haul in one capacity or another, whether it's as a candidate or as a leader within the community.
When we take a look here at 580KIDO, what has to happen tomorrow for you to win? You're going up against the good old boys, as you've defined them, and I go back to, and maybe I need to get out more, but I go back to when you first launched your campaign, the innovation on your websites comparing Idaho to the House of Cards, the Game of Thrones, very pop culture-esque, if you will. What has to happen for you to win tomorrow?
Well, I think there needs to be one of two dynamics that occur. Either voter turnout is going to be low, and enough of the Republicans are going to cross over to make me a winner in a three-way race, or voter turnout has to be higher than expected, and this vast number of independents, the people I spoke to at the end of the public television debate, the people who don't think their vote would normally count but now see a ray of hope in something other than a Republican or a Democrat that they could elect to office, if those independents that outnumber the Republicans and Democrats combined come to the polls and vote for Bujak, people are really going to be surprised. So I think it will take one of those two dynamics to occur.
Now, one of it seems like the major topic for both of these televised debates, one that you were in, one that you were withheld from, is this issue involving education and funding. And you have a very different answer, really, from the two major candidates when we talk about education funding.
I do. And I'll tell you, there has been this illusion that's been created. And the media, the mainstream media, does a good job of creating illusions for people. And part of the illusion that's been created is in the model that we currently use for education. You know, I was at a presentation on Common Core last night and was reminded that very simple teaching techniques and fundamental principles allowed us as a people to put a man on the moon. It didn't involve all of these fancy teaching things that cost a lot of money and that have been implemented through Common Core. And I don't know why we can't return to the basics and teach our kids the fundamentals and involve parents and empower parents and teachers to work together to educate our students without spending so much money. I think we need to change the model and not just simply throw more money at a situation when the model doesn't educate our kids properly.
Is it an issue, though, that we have so much overreach with the feds? People rave about charter schools, home schools, private schools because they don't have the load that the public schools have to carry when we're talking about federal mandates, labeling, mainstreaming, everybody gets an education no matter what it costs, no child left behind. As a governor, wouldn't your ability be limited to stop the feds when it comes to their intrusion into our state's education?
Well, I'm a big state sovereignty guy, and what makes me so sad about Idaho, because our values are so different than what's dictated from Washington, D.C., is we can't really stand up to the federal government because we're so dependent on those federal dollars. And that's what I would focus on changing as governor. I think we need to pick some fights with the federal government, but in order to do that, we have to have the resources and the economy built up within our state that we can say no to the federal dollars. And I think we need to, you know, one of the fights we need to pick with Washington, D.C. is over education. Our education, quite frankly, went downhill after President Carter gave us the Federal Department of Education, and I just think that the less the federal government has to do with educating our kids here in Idaho, the better. And in order to do that, we have to be able to stand as a sovereign state.
We go to the phones, and the publisher of the record-breaking 45-page Gem State Patriot, Tea Party Bob, joins us at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. At least it'll give you something to do when you can't watch TV.
Exactly.
I'd just like to thank Mr. Bujak. I presume you went to the Common Core meeting last night out in Nampa.
I did.
We sent invitations out to every state senator and representative. And I will tell you, the turnout for our elected officials has been absolutely miserable. None of them seem to care what the other side has to say. And I'm sorry that we have those kind of candidates, those kind of legislators in office. And I think that the people of Idaho have to get it right in this election, in the next election, in the 2018 election. I just wanted to thank you for going out there and doing that. The other thing is, are you going to either be a candidate for a senator or representative in the next election, or even think about running for governor in 2018?
Now, you see, I told you off the air. He's already planning.
I heard you.
Well, Bob, thanks for the question. I'll tell you what, having met with so many people over the course of this campaign, I can't put down the fight. And so in one capacity or another, I'm going to continue to fight for conservative values, either as governor or as a candidate down the road or just as a member in the community to help educate people about these important issues like Common Core. And so in one capacity or another, I'm going to be out there fighting, and I'm sure I'll see you on the battlefield.
Well, God bless you, my friend. I hope it all goes well for you in this election.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Have a great day.
All right. More coming up. If you have a question for Mr. Bujek, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's get you to traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. John Bujek with us as we continue on. Let's go to Fruitland and Arvell at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Arvell.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. I have a question concerning gay marriage, this law that was forced on us by the Ninth Circuit Court. Now, Mr. Bujek says that he represents conservative citizens of Idaho, as does Otter. And Otter, he decided to appeal this or go back to the Ninth Circuit Court to appeal this law, but why doesn't Otter stand behind the conservative citizens of Idaho and say, look, forget you folks. I mean, the Ninth Circuit Court, the foxes that are guiding the hen house. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know where we're going to end up with that. And so I was wondering if Bujek would stand behind the conservative citizens of Idaho and make a stand on that.
And I appreciate the question. You know, as we were talking about earlier in the broadcast, I think that the only way that you take on these types of issues, when the federal court comes in and you have a few folks wearing robes telling Idaho what to do, Idaho has to stand firm on its sovereignty, and in order to be able to do that, we have to have some economic independence from the federal government. And one of my biggest criticisms of Governor Otter is he has accepted so much federal money. It now amounts to 35% of our budget here in Idaho. If the federal government were to sanction us for standing firm by taking those dollars away, we'd be in big trouble as a state. And so I agree that we need to be able to stand firm and assert Idaho values and stand up for what we believe in as a people here in Idaho. But in order to do that, we have to strengthen our economy, which is why I think it is so important to get control of our lands back from the federal government. That's going to be the key.
Well, where do you stand on gay marriage yourself?
Well, I'm a Christian, and I believe in traditional marriage, and that's what I support. And so I think the people of the state of Idaho have made that very clear in passing a constitutional amendment, and the legislature has made it clear in passing the laws of the state. And unfortunately, now we're in a position where we just have to accept this ruling from the federal government, because to continue to fight it, it's a losing battle. We're just going to waste taxpayer dollars there. The only place to really stand firm would be to stand on state sovereignty. And unfortunately, our current governor has left us in a position where we can't do that.
Yes, I agree with that.
Arvell, thank you for the call, 580-5436. We've got about 2 minutes left, sir. Anything else that you would like to tell the voters here that could sway them one way or the other?
You know, I just want to remind the voters that when you look at the Republican and the Democrat that are out there, they're essentially on the same side of the fence, and it's a liberal side. Neither of them are against Common Core. Governor Otter brought us Common Core. Mr. Belukoff would continue with Common Core. Governor Otter brought us Obamacare, and both of them are looking at Medicaid expansion. In fact, Mr. Belukoff has openly campaigned that he would expand Medicaid here in the state of Idaho, which would be a mistake. And neither of them are talking about reclaiming control of our lands, which is the key both to our economic future and our ability to assert our state sovereignty. So, you know, if you vote Republican or Democrat, you're really voting for one of two Democrats is the way I look at it. You know, Governor Otter wouldn't even sign off on the Republican platform, and under the Republican Party rules, the party can't endorse him for that reason. So you can vote for one of the two Democrats, or you can vote for the one conservative candidate that's out there for governor, and that's me this time around. So I'm asking for your vote tomorrow. Come out and vote Bujak for governor.
And anything else about your future? I mean, you still have to do your day job as well.
Oh, indeed. In fact, I have some court appearances for clients this afternoon that I'll be attending to. You know, my future is either going to be as governor of this great state, or I'm going to get back to work and put some food on the table for my family and look down the road for other ways I can help conservative Idahoans and this state down the road.
Well, again, Mr. Bujak, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you this morning.
Let's get you to traffic now at 5. And coming up next, Senator Fulcher will join us. Mr. Bujak, final thought for you quickly. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come on the show and, again, talk with conservative Idahoans. I think we need to be out there making sure people are informed and making sure that conservative Idaho values are protected.
All right. So that's a yes. You'll come back?
Absolutely. Anytime you want me down, I'd be happy to accept the invitation.
All right. Thank you, sir. Fox News is next, 580 KIDO. Serving Meridian.